I didn't expect to find the same kind of wildfire virality in a Pulitzer Prize-winning rapper and a 35-year-old military leader in fatigues. But here we are, scrolling, swiping, sharing. Two men, two continents, one question. What makes something go viral in the age of digital identity? One captivated the world from a stage, spitting poetic fury beneath stadium lights. The other, from a podium in Burkina Faso, wrapped in anti-imperialist fire and TikTok-sized charisma. Kendrick Lamar and Captain Ibrahim Traoré, seemingly worlds apart, have each become icons of a deeper cultural algorithm, authenticity, resistance, and media mastery. This isn't just about fame. It's about the forces that shape it. It's about how truth, manipulation, creativity, and propaganda blur online, and how millions choose who to follow, repost, believe. In this documentary, I journey through viral timelines, diss tracks, and digital revolutions, tracing how two black men from opposite ends of the diaspora seized global attention in profoundly different ways. What I found reveals more about us than it does about them. Chapter 1. The Stage and the Cipher. I stood in the thick of a crowd at a Caribbean music festival, surrounded by the rhythms of steel pan and the boom of sub-bass, when Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us blared from the main stage speakers. It was a strange juxtaposition, a California anthem igniting a dance hall frenzy in Montego Bay. But no one blinked. The crowd roared. People knew every word. That was the moment I realized Lamar wasn't just a rapper. He was a cultural cipher. To understand Kendrick's virality, you have to go back, far beyond the Drake feud and the social media memes. His ascension is layered, built on two foundations: authentic artistic storytelling and strategic digital timing. You don't go viral by accident at this level. Not for this long. Good Kid in a Mad World. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth emerged from the heart of Compton, California, a city already saturated with hip-hop mythology. But unlike the hyper-masculine caricatures often exported from West Coast rap, Kendrick offered something more surgical, more emotionally vivid. His breakout album, Good Kid, M-A-A-D City, was less a debut and more a cinematic memoir. Told through voicemails, skits, and spiritual tension, it was an exploration of adolescence, faith, and fear, all under the looming specter of gang violence. It wasn't just music. It was black documentary poetry. By the time he released To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick had transformed into something few in the mainstream dared to become: an Afro-diasporic philosopher in rap form. The album fused funk, jazz, and spoken word, painting portraits of systemic oppression, black resilience, and inner conflict. It was angry, elegant, and deeply experimental. His success wasn't viral in the TikTok sense. It was viral in the cultural immune system sense, penetrating, unsettling, and impossible to ignore. The performance as protest. Kendrick doesn't just rap, he performs narratives. I remember watching his Super Bowl 59 performance, the one people said would never happen, because Kendrick was too political. The set opened with masked black men in prison uniforms, shackled together, dancing in militarized precision. All right, rang through the speakers, a track that had become a protest anthem after the killings of Michael Brown and Freddie Gray. It wasn't just halftime, it was resistance theater. In this age of algorithmic virality, where clickbait and controversy dominate, Kendrick weaponized the spectacle, but never compromised the message. He didn't chase trends, he created them through symbolism and historical reference. He reminded us that performance could be sacred again. Not like us. The anatomy of a digital moment. Then came the feud. Kendrick versus Drake, a cultural showdown that hijacked headlines, DMS, and FYPS. The diss track Not Like Us dropped like a digital atom bomb. It wasn't just a diss, it was a statement of authenticity. While Drake built his empire on global vibes, mass appeal, and emotional detachment, Kendrick went inward, exposing cracks in the polished persona of his rival. He pulled no punches, targeting everything from alleged predatory behavior to the commodification of culture. The song went viral instantly. But here's the twist. The virality wasn't built on meme worthiness alone. It was built on a decade of artistic integrity, strategic silence, and layered messaging. Every bar in Not Like Us was a landmine, and Kendrick, the soft-spoken poet with the braided crown, stood at the center of the blast zone, unmoved. Why Kendrick goes viral. Kendrick's virality is earned, not engineered. His storytelling taps into collective memory. His visuals resurrect ancestral trauma. His silence between albums builds anticipation in an era addicted to oversharing. And he understands timing. He released Not Like Us in an era when AI clones and social media influencers flood our feeds with curated chaos. He offered something we hadn't seen in a while. Truth, sharp-edged and unfiltered. He knows the rules of the internet and bends them. He knows when to vanish and when to strike. He doesn't go viral for being loud. He goes viral for being precise. As I sat back and re-watched one of his live performances, a bare stage, red lighting, Kendrick rapping like it was a sermon, I thought about what made it resonate so deeply across the Caribbean, across Africa, across the global black diaspora. It wasn't just the beat. It was the truth in the breath between the bars. And in that breath, Kendrick Lamar built a bridge from Compton to Kingston, from the cipher to the classroom, from Pulitzer to protest. One verse at a time. Chapter 2. The Commander and the Hashtag. I was scrolling through my feed one evening when a video stopped me cold. A young African military officer, flanked by soldiers, delivering a fiery speech in French. He spoke of neo-colonialism, of betrayal, of Africa's right to sovereignty. His eyes were steel, his uniform unadorned. The caption read, "The African Revolution is being televised." The man was Captain Ibrahim Traoré, leader of Burkina Faso's military junta, and suddenly the face of a digital resistance movement. He wasn't just trending, he was iconic. Across TikTok, Twitter, now X, and YouTube, clips of him were overlaid with Malcolm X quotes, Fela Kuti beats, and burning flags. To many, he was a revolutionary prophet. To others, a symbol manufactured in the shadows. I didn't know what to believe. But I knew I had to understand how he got there. Burkina Faso, ground zero for disillusionment. To grasp Captain Traoré's ascent, you must first understand the storm that birthed him. Burkina Faso, landlocked in West Africa, has long been caught in the chokehold of economic instability, jihadist violence, and the legacy of French colonialism. A country rich in gold, yet poor in global power. Over the last decade, its people grew increasingly disillusioned with their elected leaders, particularly as terrorist attacks escalated and foreign influence deepened. Into this vacuum stepped Traoré. A captain in his early 30s, young, articulate, and fiercely nationalist, he led a coup in 2022 that ousted Burkina Faso's interim leader. He didn't come with polished political speeches or Western backing. He came with military grit and pan-African rhetoric, pledging to rid the country of external puppeteers and restore pride to the nation. That message lit a fire, not just in Burkina Faso, but across the entire African digital sphere. Hashtag Revolution, the making of a digital hero. Almost overnight, Traoré became a viral sensation. His face was splashed across social media posts calling for African unity, anti-colonialism, and resistance to Western military presence. His speeches were remixed into Afrobeat tracks, turned into motivational edits, even animated into video game mods. But the virality didn't come purely from grassroots support. It was amplified, sometimes orchestrated. Experts began noticing unusually high engagement on posts about Traoré, particularly from coordinated accounts. Russian-aligned media outlets and influencers, including state-backed RT and Sputnik Africa, heavily promoted his image, positioning him as a geopolitical counter to Western narratives. What was once a captain became a caricature of revolution. The beret, the fiery stare, the fists raised in slow motion. It was powerful, but also curated. AI, memes, and manufactured moments. Not all of Traoré's media presence was organic. Several viral videos, ones that had millions of views, were later revealed to be AI-generated or deceptively edited. One clip showed Traoré supposedly marching through the streets of Ouagadougou with thousands cheering. Experts found the crowd audio was lifted from unrelated footage. Another widely shared image, showing him surrounded by Pan-African flags with Thomas Sankara's ghostly face in the sky, was completely fabricated. But it didn't matter. People believed it. People wanted to believe it. Traoré's image began transcending politics. He became an avatar of African frustration, a blank canvas for centuries of rage, pride, and resistance. And for many in the Caribbean, especially among Garveyite and Rasta communities, he echoed the voices of Marcus Garvey, Walter Rodney, and even Haile Selassie. I spoke to a young Jamaican activist in Kingston who told me, "I don't care if half the content is fake. The feeling behind it, that's real." Charisma in the age of content. The digital age rewards more than just ideology. It rewards image. Traoré, perhaps knowingly, embraced this. He rarely wore high-ranking medals or flashy military gear. His tone in public speeches remained calm, deliberate. He never shouted, never begged. His charisma wasn't performative. It was disciplinary. He embodied the kind of masculinity that internet culture elevates, stoic, serious, defiant. A leader in fatigues who doesn't blink in the face of empire. This archetype, repackaged through memes, motivational clips, and fiery subtitles, became irresistible to a generation raised on resistance content. But what happens when persona overtakes policy? Beneath the online heroism, real questions linger. Human rights organizations have flagged press restrictions, increasing military repression, and vague timelines for democratic transition in Burkina Faso under Traoré's leadership. Some African analysts worry that the cult of personality may be outpacing his actual governance. Still, the digital revolution marches on. Why Captain Traoré goes viral. Traoré's virality isn't about music or art. It's about symbolism. It's about a continent and a diaspora yearning for strength, autonomy, and clarity. He fills a void. In a world tired of colonial legacies and IMF handshakes, Traoré stands as a middle finger raised high. Whether authentic or curated, his image delivers emotional closure, and the dream of black power without apology. In the Caribbean, his story resonates deeply. We know the weight of outside rule. We know the seduction of symbolic rebellion. And we know how quickly leaders can be turned into gods or ghosts. As I watched yet another clip of him go viral, this time layered with speeches by Thomas Sankara and Bob Marley, I realized something. He wasn't just being followed, he was being believed. And in the digital age, belief spreads faster than truth. Chapter 3. The Algorithms of Authenticity. I found myself sitting at a rooftop cafe in Bridgetown, Barbados, laptop open, Wi-Fi barely holding. Beside me, a group of students debated Kendrick Lamar's latest video, while someone else scrolled through TikToks of Captain Traoré speeches overlaid with fire emojis and Fela Kuti tracks. It hit me. We're living in an era where virality is the new legitimacy. But what makes someone or something go viral? And deeper still, why do we trust it once it does? Kendrick Lamar and Captain Ibrahim Traoré exist on opposite ends of the cultural spectrum. One is a global music icon, the other a military leader governing through crisis. Yet both have tapped into the same algorithmic magic. They've become symbols of something larger than themselves. The difference lies in how they did it, and why we chose to believe them. Virality as modern myth-making. The internet doesn't just reward talent, it rewards narrative clarity. And in an age of digital overload, clarity often comes in the form of iconic simplicity. Kendrick Lamar built his virality slowly, brick by brick. Over a decade, he crafted a catalogue of albums rooted in pain, power, and introspection. His most viral moments, like Not Like Us or the Super Bowl performance, were not isolated hits, but culminations of deep, consistent storytelling. His success feels earned, his words sharpened by time. Captain Traoré, in contrast, rose like a digital storm. He offered an instant fix to a long-standing wound, the lingering specter of neo-colonialism. His image, stoic, militant, anti-Western, was powerful and ready-made for the screen. Whether through propaganda, genuine support, or both, his virality exploded not from albums, but from emotionally charged visuals. Each man represents a myth we hunger for. Kendrick, the prophet poet, armed with truth and rhythm. Traoré, the warrior savior, armed with defiance and uniform. And the internet, in its infinite hunger for heroes, devoured both. The role of digital echo chambers. Social media isn't just a mirror, it's a magnifier. When Kendrick dropped Not Like Us, the world didn't just react, it reenacted. Memes, remixes, debates, think pieces. People dissected each bar like it was scripture. What made it viral wasn't just the lyrics, it was the conversation it ignited. That's organic virality. Truth catching fire in the cultural subconscious. With Traoré, the echo chamber looks different. Posts about him often circulate in closed loops, pan-African forums, anti-Western accounts, even Russian media outlets pushing anti-NATO sentiment. The content gets shared not because it's factual, but because it feels righteous. Even AI-generated clips or misleading edits spread like wildfire because they affirm a belief system. This is the danger, and brilliance, of the digital age. We no longer need facts to build fame. We need feeling. Manufactured versus earned, the thin line. The core difference between these two paths lies in authenticity. Kendrick Lamar has maintained artistic control over his image. He's famously reclusive, rarely posting, letting his work speak for itself. That silence builds trust. When he drops, people listen, because they know he's not here to chase clout. His virality stems from decade-deep credibility. Captain Traoré, meanwhile, is navigating a different game. His virality is shaped by external forces, nationalistic fervor, geopolitical strategy, media manipulation. His message resonates because it aligns with global frustration, but it's also vulnerable to distortion. Misleading images, out-of-context clips, and propaganda muddy the line between hero and hologram. Both Kendrick and Traoré have become more than men. They've become ideas. And in a world saturated by content, the idea often matters more than the origin. Why it matters to the Caribbean. For those of us in the Caribbean, a region shaped by colonial trauma, cultural brilliance, and diasporic yearning, this conversation cuts deep. We are constantly navigating identity, constantly choosing who to follow, who to repost, who to uplift as ours. Kendrick's artistry speaks to our poetic rage. Traoré's defiance speaks to our historical scars. But the question we must ask ourselves is not just who's viral. It's why we're so hungry for them to be. The digital world allows us to mythologize in real time, to turn verses into doctrine and uniforms into halos. But mythology without accountability can be dangerous. Not all revolutionaries are ready to govern. Not all poets are saints. Toward a more conscious clique. What this story reveals is simple but urgent. Virality is not always truth. Authenticity can be manufactured. And we, the audience, are not passive. We are participants. Every share, every like, every comment fuels the engine. We don't just consume stories, we build up or we build them. We give them shape, momentum, power. That's the real takeaway from decoding Kendrick Lamar and Captain Traoré. It's not about whose message is more valid or whose fame is more deserved. It's about recognizing the systems that shape our belief and having the courage to question them. As I closed my laptop and walked through the sounds of the Caribbean evening, crickets, soca, a stray horn from the port, I felt the weight of it all. Kendrick rapped his way to cultural reverence. Traoré marched his way to digital sainthood. But it's us, our shares, our views, our hunger for heroes, that made them viral. Maybe it's time we looked less at who's trending and more at what it says about the world we're trying to build.